The resurrection of Jesus Christ is not just a nice story, it's a historical fact established by eyewitnesses. I sometimes think the church, perhaps at large, is guilty today in that we only talk about the resurrection of Jesus at Easter. But the early church was excited about the fact they had a crucified Savior who died for their sins, and they were excited that He rose again from the grave. They were always talking about that. Without Jesus, the future of people is just dark. It's depressing. But because Jesus is alive, there is hope for our future. So this morning we're going to look at Romans chapter 8. I want us to think about verse 10 and 11, and then I'm going to go ahead today and connect it to verse 19 through 25. So think with me this morning as we look at this passage. Jesus gives victory over death. Because we are sinners, we die. Death plagues us. Death pursues us. Death overtakes us. And so the question becomes, is there any hope? People want to know, is there any hope beyond the grave? If you look at verse 10 and 11, Paul writes this and says, "And if Christ be in you," that's talking about salvation, knowing Christ as your Savior. "And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you," live in you, "He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken," make alive, "your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you." So here's what Paul is saying. When you are saved, the Holy Spirit of God comes and lives inside of you. That is the seal of God. That is the guarantee of God. The down payment, if you would. If you're saved today, the Holy Spirit of God lives inside of you. And it was the Holy Spirit of God that had part in raising Jesus from the dead. By the power of the Holy Spirit, He came up out of the tomb. And this same Holy Spirit lives inside of you today as well, if you're saved. And the same Holy Spirit that had a part in raising the Son of God from the dead is the same Holy Spirit who will raise you from the dead one day. He will do for you what He did for Christ at the resurrection. The Holy Spirit who lives inside of you is that guarantee of that fact. Listen to what Paul writes about Jesus' resurrection. He says, "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept." I want you to notice that word, first fruits. He's referring to a festival, a celebration of the Jews, the harvest time. The harvest was coming, and the first fruits of the harvest was gathered, and that was given to God in thanksgiving and praise. And what it says is we depend on God that there's more to come, more harvest to come. So we're given the first fruits to you. Well, it says that Jesus was the first fruits from the dead, the first to be resurrected from the dead. And there's a promise and a guarantee that more will follow. But at this point, somebody may say, well, he wasn't the first to be resurrected. What about Lazarus? What about the widow's son at Nain who was resurrected? What about others in Scripture who were raised back to life? How does it say Jesus was the first fruits? One author I read gave me a different perspective on this recently, and it finally understood. Yes, these others were raised from the dead before Jesus was, but they were raised back to a body that was going to die again. I wonder if they were disappointed. Oh, I got brought back again in this old body that's fallen apart. It was still their old sin-cursed bodies that was raised to life, and they would die again at some point. So Jesus was the first to be resurrected in His glorified body, the first fruits. And one day, if you're saved, you will be resurrected in a new glorified body free of sin. The first fruits was Jesus. There's more to come. And your body will be free of sin, free of death, and experience eternal life. That's why Scripture can say that Christ, He is the first fruits from the dead. And there's more to follow, talking about a very specific kind of resurrection. Think with me on this passage here. Jesus will redeem this sin-cursed earth. Look at verse 22. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Everything that has been created is touched by sin, and it is said to be groaning with the weight of sin. Sin has affected our environment. Right now, the world is breaking and dying and hurting, the world itself. Things wear out, people get sick, people die, animals die. The earth has storms and disasters that ravages the earth. And all creation is said to be groaning. This hurts. This curse of sin hurts. When will the pain stop? I came across some videos. I'm going to hopefully show them here to you. One's short, the other's a little bit longer. I'll show you part of it. And this is not a Christian science video. This is just secular science. And what they're showing is that there's planets out there and stars and black holes and collapsing stars that are sending out waves of sound like a radio wave, and that when they're picked up, listen to what they say. So it's not just a figurative illustration, although it is. It's literally. All creation around us is groaning with the weight of sin. Look at verse 19 through 21. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into this glorious liberty of the children of God. A little wordy, but let me explain what it's saying. Creation is pictured as if it's anxiously waiting for God to change those who are saved. Because creation realizes that redeemed people need to be redeemed and have a redeemed environment to live in one day. So creation is portrayed as saying, please, hurry, redeem your people. Because when you redeem your people, you're going to redeem the creation for them to live in. There will be a death of this present world one day. Peter prophesies this. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. One day, God is going to release His hand. He's not only the creator, He is the sustainer of creation. And all He has to do is let go. And the Bible says that one day this earth will literally melt away with a great heat. And everything in it that's been valued will just burn away. But then what's going to happen? There'll be a resurrection of a new world. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. One day, God is going to redeem all creation. And this can only happen because we have a living Savior. I came across an illustration this past week. Just kind of help us understand. Imagine there's this favorite playground for the kids in the neighborhood. But now it's old, it's broken down, it's all rusty, the swings are rusty, the grass is bare, the basketball rims are all bent and falling over. Some broken off. And yeah, kids still play there, but it's not how it's supposed to be. But then you hear that the city's going to rebuild it. New swings, new slides, new basketball goals, replanted grass, all bright and new. Right now, the old playground, it just creaks and groans. It's rusty and broken, but it's waiting for the day when the builders will come and make it new. Redeemed people are anticipating a world that has been redeemed to live in one day. Also, Jesus will redeem your sin-cursed body. Look at verse 23 and 24. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? Just like creation around us is groaning with the weight of sin, perhaps literally, we have the weight of sin upon our bodies. And we are said to be groaning as well. And you know, we do that literally sometimes too. Oh, it hurts. We feel the effect of sin upon our bodies. They get tired. They face sadness. There's struggles in life. There's the burden of growing older. Then there's death. And it all needs to be fixed. But God has given a promise to us. In verse 23, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. And there's that word first fruits here in Romans. Here is the idea of first fruits again. When you were saved, the Holy Spirit came and lived inside of you. And just like the first fruits of the harvest was given, there's more to come. The Holy Spirit was given to you at salvation with God's promise that He would give more victory in the future. A complete victory. You see, our souls are redeemed at the moment of salvation. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature or a creation. Just like the creation that we live in was a miracle of God. God spoke it into existence. It could not bring itself into existence. Evolution tries to say it brought itself into existence. But we know from Scripture it was a miracle. It was God speaking it. And just like creation could not bring itself into existence, we cannot bring ourselves into salvation. It is a miracle of God. It is Jesus Christ who does that. So we are a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So we know our souls are redeemed the moment we are saved, and our bodies will be redeemed at the resurrection one day. Here's what Paul says. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. Meaning that it's placed in the tomb. It's dying. It has died. It is decaying, it is corruptible. But one day the body that God's going to give us at the resurrection will be incorruptible. It will die no more. It will decay no more. It will fall apart no more. No more arthritis. No more pains. No more sickness. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. Hollywood portrays death as such a glamorous thing. Their dying moments, they say just all the right things and die just in a glorious way. Let me tell you, there's nothing pretty about death. Those of you who sat by the bed of a loved one dying, yes, their spirit, if they're saved, there's something glorious about that. But the body itself, there's nothing glorious about the body dying. It's sown in dishonor, corrupt. One day it's going to be raised in glory, all that dishonor gone. It is sown in weakness, raised in power. The body at the end of life becomes so weary, unable to go on, and dies, but it's raised in power. It is sown as natural body, is raised a spiritual body. Here it's not saying one day we're going to float around like little ghosts everywhere, like Casper. It's saying a natural body, spiritual body. It's talking about a sinful body and a body free of sin. That's what it's talking about. When it's placed in the ground, the body dies because it is under the curse of sin. It is a natural body, but one day it's going to be raised a spiritual body, meaning it's going to be free of sin. There's a natural body and there's a spiritual body. How wonderful. How glorious. And we're looking forward to resurrection day. You say, how do we know it's going to happen? Here's a promise Jesus gave. Because I live, ye shall live also. And it all goes back to the fact, because Jesus is alive, you have hope for the future.